الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the name Al-Mu'min, which has two meanings. The mu'min, the word mu'min in Arabic language is derived from a triliteral root, hamza, mim, noon. We have this word iman that comes from this root letter. And we also have another word aman, which comes from the same triliteral roots. So hence this word al-mu'min has two meanings. Al-Mu'min refers to that being who is the infuser of Iman, the giver of Iman. And it also refers to that being who is the giver of Aman, giver of security, peace, and tranquility, who removes the fear from a person. So today, inshallah, we want to speak about this first aspect, which is Al-Mu'min as the infuser, as the giver of Iman, as the provider of Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Mu'min. He is the one who affirms and believes his own oneness and the one who gives Iman to his servants. This is a very special name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gives Iman to a person, this is a sign that that person is loved by Allah. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed akhlaq, your character, among you like your rizq. Someone gets more rizq, someone gets less. Similarly, people will get higher level of akhlaq, someone will get lesser levels of akhlaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he blesses dunya to everyone, whether he loves them or not. However, وَلَا يُؤْتِ الدِّينَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ يُحِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with iman only when he loves that person. This blessing of iman is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. And we may not realize the value of this blessing, because it has been gifted to us without any hardship. We never made a request to Allah for this. We never had to pass through any test or trials. So we don't know the value of this iman. We were born and someone said azan in our ear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name was made known to us. We were raised a bit, years passed by, and then we found our mother reciting Quran. Sometime later, our father, he took us to the mosque holding our hands. We were raised in such an environment where we were made familiar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Quran. And because we got this ni'mat for free, we don't realize the importance and value of this blessing. And if we seriously want to understand the value of this blessing, that Al-Mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given us this Ni'mat of Iman. To understand, we have to go back 1400 years. We'll have to ask Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that, oh Bilal, you tell us how valuable Iman is. And Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, okay, tell us correctly the value of Iman, because he paid a very hefty price for that Iman. We'll have to ask Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Om Samaya, you tell what sacrifice you had to give for this Iman. And she can tell rightly that I sacrificed my life for Iman. We'll have to ask the Hazrat Ammar and Hazrat Yasir radiallahu ta'ala an. They can tell us how precious this Iman is. When the Prophet would leave Makkah Mukarramah to go somewhere, the unbelievers, the kuffar, they would cause atrocities on Sayyidina Ammar and Hazrat Yasir because they were slaves. And slaves were openly persecuted. And that's why the Prophet would say, Sabran ya ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al Jannah. That be patient, O Yasir, and the family of Yasir. You have been promised Jannat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people like these can tell us what the status of Iman is. And it's a truth. It's so true that this Iman is merely the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us with this ni'mat. And it is not given according to how intelligent people are or how much understanding people have or how much akal people have. And if Iman was to be distributed in accordance with our akal, then today all the akilin, the philosophers, they would be the first to have Iman. And people like us would be deprived of this ni'mat. Nor is Iman infused by Allah because of wealth of a person. Because then Iman would only be among the wealthy, the top 5% or 2% of the world population. If this was in the hands of these people, then we would not have been gifted with Iman. So subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mu'min, the giver of Iman. And this is based on Allah's choice, Allah's ata, Allah's grace. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, he comes from Habsha. And Allah gifted him with Iman. Hadrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala an, he came from Rome. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala infused him with Iman. Hadrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an, he came from Faris, Persia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with this Iman. And here in Makkah Mukarramah, there are people living on the streets of Makkah Mukarramah. Every day they get to witness the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. And they were deprived of this gift of Iman. We look at Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, who raised Nabi ﷺ. And when the Prophet ﷺ disclosed and told people about his Nabuwat, the entire Makkah Mukarramah was against the Prophet ﷺ. And when the people of Makkah Mukarramah, they wanted to take the final decision, Abu Talib, he would always come. Abu Talib would come and block them from reaching the Prophet ﷺ. And we can surely imagine how much the Prophet ﷺ wanted that his uncle would recite the kalma and take Iman. When Abu Talib was about to die, the Prophet ﷺ reached Abu Talib. Abu Jahl and Umayyah bin Khalf, they were sitting next to Abu Talib. And the Prophet ﷺ asked Abu Talib to recite kalma, saying that, "Oh my uncle, recite this kalma, so that I'm able to defend you. And I can say that he recited kalima in dunya." But Abu Talib, Abu Jahl was there, and Umayyah bin Khalf was there. They said they don't believe, don't recite the kalima. And Abu Talib listened to them, and he went away without reciting the kalima. Even though Abu Talib knew that the Prophet ﷺ was a true Nabi, this Iman is haqq. He several times would recite poetries in praise of the Prophet ﷺ. Many poetries. We can just imagine how much the Prophet ﷺ would have wanted that his uncle would have accepted Iman. But he did not accept Iman. This is the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a ni'mat that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this day and age, this materialism, secularism, with so much dunya around us, 1400 years have passed by since the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ left us, 1400 years have passed by, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to bless people with Iman. This is the favor, one of the biggest favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. No matter how many sajdas we do to Allah, we can never thank Allah ta'ala for this ni'mat of iman. Today, people say that we want to see everything. You want to see everything. Unless we see, we won't believe. But this is the fazl and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this ni'mat of iman. Now, what exactly is iman? How can we strengthen this iman? And what can we do to safeguard our iman? These are a few questions we just want to try to understand, inshallah, in today's session. One word is mushahida, which is observation, to see something. Its opposite is iman, to believe something without seeing it. For example, we haven't seen Jannat, you haven't seen Jahannam, we haven't seen the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we haven't seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet ﷺ brought these teachings, and we do i'timad, we trust the Prophet ﷺ, and we believe in him. This is called iman, to believe without seeing. And this has a lot of qadr in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe after seeing it, that's nothing unique. Everyone does it. Even the kafir, the unbeliever, will also do it. But to believe without seeing, this has a lot of worth in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There in the books was a story, a very simple story was mentioned, that there was an egg of a hen, and the baby was fully ready inside the egg. And when it is ready, it kicks the shell and breaks and then comes out. Now imagine that the baby is ready, about to come out, and someone goes inside that shell and tells the baby that after a few moments he will go to a world where there will be a human being, where there will be buildings and rivers and trees and mountains. You'll be amazed. So if he says that, let me search around in this shell to see if these things exist, he won't be able to see it. But the moment he comes out of the shell, he will see it. We are also stuck in the shell of this dunya. We don't know the world outside this shell. But the Prophet ﷺ, he went for Miraj. And he saw the dunya outside of, he saw the akhirah. He saw Jannat and Jahannam. He saw all of those realities with his own eyes. And then Prophet ﷺ came back and he told us those realities. And we accept those realities on the testimony of the Prophet ﷺ. And if we accept it on the testimony of the Prophet ﷺ, it is our own benefit. It's for our own good. Otherwise, when the moment of death comes, we'll see all those realities with our own eyes. In the books, there was another story that was there about a big fish and a small fish. A small fish saw that there is a meat piece and wanted to eat that piece. And the big fish said that, no, don't even go near that meat piece, because it is attached to a hook, which is attached to a wire. And this wire extends outside the water. And there is a person holding that wire. And the moment you eat it, this hook will get stuck in your throat. He will pull you out and you will die without water. And then he will give you to his wife and she'll make fish kebabs out of you. She'll add some spice, some hot oil, and then she'll place this on the table and people will eat you with the 32 teeth. And the small fish said that, okay, let me see where are all of these things. Now she's swimming here and there. Now can she see the knife in the water? Can she see the spice in the water? Can she see the oil in the water? If it accepts that these realities are there, it is going to be beneficial for that small fish. But if it doesn't accept, then the moment it will eat that meat piece, it will have to see the whole process with its own eyes. That is our example. The Prophet ﷺ saw Jannat and Jahannam, and told that, oh people, if you do righteous things, righteous deeds, you will go to Jannat. And Jannat is like this. And if you disobey, you will go to Jahannam. And the punishment of Jahannam is like this. So believing is beneficial. Otherwise, we'll see this later. When one dies, everyone believes. This iman has value because we believe without seeing. And this is the greatest blessing that we have. The lowest value thing we have is wealth. Health is more valuable than wealth. When people fall sick, they spend money to attain health. Operation, right? Thousands of dollars are spent. Bone marrow transplant, $100,000. And you're earning money to spend it on your health. So health has a higher value than wealth. And our honor and izzat is more valuable than our health. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that if a woman, in order to save her honor and chastity, she dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give her the rank of a shaheed on the day of Qiyamah. So above wealth is the rank of health. And above health is the rank of honor and izzat. And above honor and izzat is this ni'mat of iman. This iman is the most important, the most precious thing that we have. And there is one thing which is called iman, and there's another thing which is called the sweetness of iman, the halawat of iman. The Prophet ﷺ said that the three things, if they're found inside a person, that person will be able to experience the sweetness of iman in their heart. Just like honey and sugar is sweet, iman is also sweet. Not every person can feel that sweetness. Not every person can feel this sweetness of iman as well. Three things. Wajada halawat al-iman. An yakuna Allah wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayhi mimma sivahuma. One who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone else. Wa an yuhibbu al-mar'a la yuhibbuhu illa Allah, illa lillah. And they love a person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, that they hate to go back into kufr after accepting Islam. So the joys of iman are there. Yesterday we were speaking about lutf. That there is a lutf in eating delicious food of this dunya. There is also a lutf in staying away from food for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a pleasure in laughing with your friends and gatherings. There is also another lutf in crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a dark night all alone. There is a joy in sleeping on this comfortable bed. There is also a joy of ruku and sujood on a hard surface. There is a delight in watching the actions of people on the TV or YouTube. There is a delight in reciting the Quran. The dunya has its own maza, and the spiritual world, this ruhaniyat, this deen has its own maza. Now, the question is that in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about iman and the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made to the people of iman. So many ayat. Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْإِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That izzat belongs to the mu'mineen. وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. That Allah will never give a path to the unbelievers to dominate the believers. كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It's Allah's haq to give salvation to the believers. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It's Allah's haq that Allah will help the mu'mineen. And Allah is making all these promises in the Quran. But we, when we look at our own life, our own world, our own society, we don't see these promises being fulfilled. And if we don't see these promises being fulfilled, it doesn't mean that these promises are false. But what it means is that we don't have this iman, this mu'mineen, what Allah is saying. That iman which Allah wants, that iman which Allah is seeking within us. We don't have that iman. We have the label, we have the surat, we have the appearance, the outward, but we don't have that hakikat of iman upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has based all these promises. Because Allah ta'ala's promises are true. Once we have that level of iman, then we would see all these promises being fulfilled for us. And that's what Allah says in Quran as well. That ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, aminu billahi wa rasooli. And this is so ajeeb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing who? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. That all those who have iman. People have recited the kalama with their tongue. Allah is saying, aminu billahi wa rasooli. Now bring iman. Bring iman. And now be true in your iman. You have declared this iman with your tongue. Bring this iman in your heart. You have the title of iman, but now get that level which I want. And we should think and we should strive for that reality of iman, the hakikat of iman, the strength of iman. So now how can we strengthen our iman? How can we build this iman? So there are several ways in which a person, there are three or four ways in which we can strengthen this iman that we have. And one of the ways to strengthen our iman is to remember that, is to look at the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, to look at the signs in the world around us. The qudrat, the world that is around us, we should ponder, reflect on the signs. Allah says in Quran, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. That we will show our signs to the people around them and within them until they will know that this is haqq. To we reflect around the world and everything will testify to the oneness of Allah, to the iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why if you look in the Quran, Allah doesn't say that close your eyes and live a world like that. No. Allah says, open your eyes. Alam tara. See around you. Alam tara. Look around you. Unzuru. Look around you. Observe. Fanzur. Look. Allah wants us to open your eyes and look around you. And you will find the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around you. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran, he looked at the stars. He said, Hadha Rabbi. Then when the moon came out, he said, no, the moon is bigger, larger. So this moon can be my Rabb. Haza Rabbi. Then the sun came out. He said, فَلَمَّا رَأَ الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرَ. That the sun is the greatest, sun will be my Rabb. And then what happened? فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ. When the sun went down, sun set, he said, no, this cannot be my Rabb. So first way is to reflect on the world around us. And also, secondly, is to understand that this entire world that is running around us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the musabbibul asbab. You need the control, the remote control is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very easy nowadays to understand, right? You have this remote control. Whoever controls the remote, they control the TV show, right? Who, in the same way, this entire functioning, the system of this universe, right? This entire kainat that Allah has created, the remote control is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we were young, we used to go to this puppet show, and those were good old times, right? Puppets, but they were attached to a thread. And behind the curtain used to be a person who would be controlling those threads. So Zahiran, outwardly, we are looking at those puppets, that they are moving, they are playing. But the reality is that behind the curtain, there is another power who is running the show. Exactly, this is the mamala with this dunya. It becomes easy for us to understand. Right? This is what dunya is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also explains this in the Quran as well with a beautiful story. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he came to Mount Tur to meet Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala asked him, "Wama tilka bi yaminika ya Musa?" "Oh Musa, what's in your right hand?" And as the Musa alayhi salam replied, "Hiya asaya," that "Ya Allah, this is my stick, walking stick." And then he mentioned the benefits of this stick. "Atawakka'u alayha wa ahushu biha ala ghanami wa liya fiha ma'aribu ukhra," that "I walk with this, I take support from this, I guide my animals using this stick," and there are many other benefits. And he said that Musa alayhi salam wanted to say that this is a very beneficial object that I have. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, "Alqiha ya Musa." "O Musa, throw the stick on the ground." And the moment Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam threw the stick on the ground, fa'iza hiya hayyatun tas'a, immediately it became a python, this big snake. And then what happened? Fa'awjasa fi nafsihi khifatan Musa. Now that Musa alayhi salam in his heart became very scared, very terrified. And when he was scared, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, "Khuzha wa la takhaf sanu'iduha siratahal ula." "O Musa, hold it with your hands and don't be scared. We will return that back to its original disposition." So the moment he touched it with his hand, it became a stick again. Now here, ma'azallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not wanted to show some was not some show, right? Entertainment or recreation. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give a lesson. And the lesson was that, "Oh my beloved Nabi, that thing, that object, which you thought was very beneficial, when our hukum, when our command comes and you place that on the ground, that same object became something which is very detrimental, which can harm you. And then that object which you thought can harm you, and you were scared, and you were running away, about to run away, when our hukum came and we told you to hold it with your hand, it again became something which was beneficial." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach a lesson. The things, they don't have benefit or harm, the ability to benefit or the ability to harm anything on its own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running the show. When we wish we can put benefit in those things and make them beneficial, and when we wish we can put harm in those things and make them harmful, we can take out izzat from zillat, we can take out zillat from izzat. This is called iman. This was the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And this is the fundamental difference between the life of a mu'min and a kafir. That a mu'min's life is a life of iman, and a kafir's life is a life of unbelief. Mu'min, he trusts Allah. He has trust, confidence in the promises of Allah. He knows that if I take interest, then Allah will take away my barakah from my wealth. The unbeliever, he doesn't have any trust on Allah. He looks at the outward, he looks at the interest, the riba. He consumes it and feels happy that my money is increasing. This is what iman is and what separates us. Then the third way through which a person can strengthen their iman is to reflect on the stories of different anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that are mentioned in the Quran. And when you study these stories, one, they help us to strengthen our iman. And second, these stories would also give tasalli and consolation to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ would be able to get this aman and itminan and sukoon in his heart because of these stories. So, for example, in Quran, Allah mentions that we look at the story of Sayyidina Yusuf ﷺ. There is a lesson for us. Any the story of Yusuf ﷺ is enough for us to learn a very important lesson. Such a small age, And he was betrayed by his own brothers, thrown inside a well. And then he was taken out from a well and sold as a slave in a palace for a few dirham. And in that palace, he was working as a slave, as a ghulam. Now that person was separated from his family, is living a life of slavery. And you would think that outwardly, this person's life is nothing, right? It doesn't have any value. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach a lesson that look, he was alone. He had no relatives, no parents, no baradari, no community, not even in his own hometown, no acquaintance, koi apna nahi. He knows no one. But what he had with him was he had this diyanat. He was trustworthy. He had his loyalty. He had his modesty and chastity. And he had this ability to be steadfast on the hukum, on the commands of Allah. And when he lived a life based on these qualities, what was the result? That where he was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the finance minister. Allah ta'ala made him the king of that era, king of that region. Khud, the king is calling and saying that I want to give my kingdom to you. One time he is a slave and being sold in the market, slave market. And Allah ta'ala changes the halat and now he's sitting on the throne. So what was behind this story? Not the worldly asbab. He had none of those worldly asbab. But behind this story, the raz, the secret behind his success was his sifat, his attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat, his trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give. That, oh people, you are running behind these asbab, these worldly means, and you're ruining your life. You should try to develop these sifat inside of you. Strengthen your iman. Polish your iman. And then because of these sifat in your iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the jewels and the pearls at your feet. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was in the palace, his brothers who had betrayed him, they came and they couldn't recognize him. They came and asked for some wheat. When they entered and they saw Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, they thought that he is the king of this region. And they said to him that, Ya ayyuhal aziz, massana wa ahlana dhurru. We and our family have been touched with this calamity. We don't have any money that we can offer you, but we want full ghalla, this full wheat from you. And what the saddaq alayna, just give sadaqah to us and Allah will reward you for this sadaqah. Those brothers are now coming and begging before Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam to give some sadaqah to us. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, this is how Allah Ta'ala changes the halat. And then at that time, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam asked them, Ma fa'altum bi Yusuf? Do you remember what you did with Yusuf? Now the brothers, they were completely taken aback. In their wildest imagination, they couldn't have thought that who is this person? So immediately they respond, Innaka la'anta Yusuf? That are you Yusuf? And Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam replies, Qala ana Yusuf. Wa haza akhi. Yes, I'm Yusuf. And this is my brother, Binyamin. Qad manna Allahu alayna. Indeed, Allah's father has done this tremendous favor upon us. And then the next line is the key line, which opens our eyes, which is enough to open our eyes. So then Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, Innahu man yattaki wa yasbir. That as for that person, any person who adopts taqwa and has sabr, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُذِيُّ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never wastes the amal, the good deeds of those who do good. These are the two qualities. And Allah wanted to give us a lesson that don't run after these worldly asbab. Build your iman, build your amal, build this taqwa, build this sabr, And upon these qualities, Allah will give you ajr. Next story in the Quran, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Look at Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He is all alone. The entire region is against him. The ruler of that time is against him. They decide to throw Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam inside the fire. But Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was steadfast on the promise of Allah, on the hukum of Allah, that I will not associate any partners with Allah Ta'ala, will not commit any shirk. What was the outcome? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed, directly commanded the fire and said, Qulna, ya nauru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. That, O fire, become peaceful and cool for Ibrahim. And then when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was successful in that test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about this in Quran. That وَيْزِبَتَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. We tested Ibrahim, we examined Ibrahim, we took an examination of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam with a few things. فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. He was successful. This is like for students, 100 out of 100. Right? فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. And then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. When you pass a test, there's always an inam. There's always a reward, right? So what was the reward? Allah says, we made him the imam, the leader of the entire, the leader of humanity. Leader of humanity. And now what is worth reflecting is that this one person who was all alone, the entire region was against him. And he remains steadfast on the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there comes a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives such izzat to this one person that Allah ta'ala is saying that we have made you the imam of the entire humanity. And if you look today, the three big religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and all three of them, their adherents, they honor, they look up to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. They respect Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala made him the imam. There is a lesson for us that if we also are steadfast on our actions, on our amal, whatever the outward halat, outward conditions are, what will be the result? Eventual outcome will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide the matter in our favor. Allah Ta'ala will decide the matter in our favor. What happens today is that because our iman is weak, so in small, small, trivial things, we leave the door of Allah Ta'ala and we run to the door of people. The first door that we leave is the door of Allah. You call a friend, you know, yeah, I didn't see you in the masjid today. He says, oh, I just had some work to do. You know, I just had this issue. When this issue is solved, then I can come to the masjid. Anyone, there is an issue in life, we don't forget, we don't leave the door of our house, we don't leave the door of our shops, we don't leave the door of our schools or universities. The one door that we leave is the door of Allah. Right? The matter should be the opposite. We can leave everything, but we cannot leave the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To learn this lesson is called iman. And the early Muslims, they had this within themselves. So the third point, is to understand and to reflect on the stories of the prophets in the Quran. And then another way to increase our iman, to learn iman, to strengthen iman, is to reflect on the stories of the Sahaba Ikram, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them. When the Sahaba, they built their life with iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them in this dunya a maqam taskhir. I'm mentioning a new word in Arabic, taskhir, musakhir. When a person, a believer, when they complete their iman, perfect their iman, beautify their iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them this rank of taskhir. Taskhir means then that mu'min's hukum or command, it runs over not just other people, not just other human beings, but also over other creation of Allah, like fire, wind, air, and earth. They're able to command these elements. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he built his iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him maqami tazkhir. In the books, it's mentioned that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was once a fire in Medina Tayyibah. He called one sahabi, Hazrat Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and said that, go and take this chadar of mine and use this chadar to hit that fire and extinguish that fire with this chadar. And that sahabi took Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's chadar, and he was able to extinguish the fire with this chadar. Meaning the fire would obey the hukum of Sayyidina Umar. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his khilafah, once in Medina Tayyibah, there was an earthquake. And the earth started to shake, tremble. And at that time, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had this stick in his hand, and he hit the ground with that stick and said that, O earth, why are you trembling? Has Umar not established justice over you? And immediately the earth stopped shaking. The earth would listen to the hukum of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Then once in Masjid al-Nabi, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was standing to give a khutbah at the minbar, about to give a khutbah. And in that khutbah, he saw something and then saw and said, Ya Sariyat al-Jabal. Ya Sariya al-Jabal. Al-Jabal. There was a sahabi by the name of Hazrat Sariya radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who many kilometers away was engaged in a jihad. And he was fighting the enemy. And the enemy, they hid behind a mountain and they were about to ambush from behind. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw that manzar standing here in Medina Tayyibah. And he said those words, Ya Sariya al-Jabal. Oh Sariya, be cautious about the mountain. They're going to come from behind, from the mountainside. And thousands of miles away, this air, the wind, carried the words of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the ears of Hazrat Sariya. And he then was able to defeat the enemy. So even air would listen to the command of Sayyidina Umar. And once Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he received a message that the Nile in Egypt has stopped flowing. So the leader of the Muslim army, they wrote a letter that to Sayyidina Umar, that what are we supposed to do? So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wrote a letter addressed to that river Nile, in which it was written, the O river, if you flow of your own accord, then stop flowing. However, if you flow because of the will and wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I, Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen, command you to flow. And that letter was thrown inside the river, and the Nile started to flow. So this is the maqam-e-taskhir that Allah gives to a mu'min. Okay, when a person believes in Allah and obeys Allah, then Allah makes the creation obey that person. Allah makes the creation obey that person. In the jungles of Africa, the Sahaba Ikram, they would go spend the night. And once a Sahabi went inside that jungle, and he announced in the jungle that, oh, the animals of jungle, today the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ will be spending the night here. Vacate this space. Empty this space. And when that announcement was made, they say that we saw these animals like a lion and tiger and cheetah and leopard. They were carrying their cubs, their babies in their mouth, and they were vacating, leaving that region. Today, we don't have this level of iman. We don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the result of that? The result is that our own kids, they don't listen to us. Our spouse, they don't listen to us. Our friends don't listen to us. Right? Our brothers don't listen to us. Our sisters don't listen to us. So we disobey Allah. As a result, people who are under us, they disobey us. Then another way to learn this iman and to strengthen our iman is to put ourselves in an environment of iman. For some time, we should seclude ourselves, sit in solitude, and try to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In olden days, the early Muslims, they would guide their students that you have to be separated from the dunya, go live in some mountain, go live in some cave. But we don't need to do that. However, what is important for us is that for some time during the day, we just seclude ourselves and sit in a peaceful place where there is silence and solitude and just try to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our heart. Because the environment has a lot of effect. We look at the story of Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam in the Quran. She used to ibadat of Allah in a solitary small corner of her house. Hadrat Zakariya alayhi salam was her uncle, Khalu. He raised her and did tarbiyah of Maryam alayhi salam. And then one day when he had to go somewhere, he went, and she was really young. And for some reason, he was not able to come quickly. He got delayed. And he was feeling that there was no food for Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam. He was a bit worried, anxious. But when he comes, when he knocks on the door and steps inside, what does he see? كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّ الْمِحْرَابِ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. He sees that Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam has these risk, these fruits, which are out of season. Now Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, the Nabi of that time, he is surprised and asks her that, O Maryam, anna laki haza, that the door was locked, there was no one who gave you this food. Where did you get these fruits from? And qalat, she replied, huwa min indillah, that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was leading this life where she was in that environment. Because of that, she had this level, this quality of yaqeen. And then the other level, when that same Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam, she is living among the people. Several years later, when she started living among the people, there came a time when she separated herself from people to take ghusl, to take a bath. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to give the good news, right, that she will be blessed with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. But the moment she saw him, that angel in a manly form coming towards her, she became tensed, worried, she got afraid. But that angel said, innama ana rasulu rabbik, I am the angel of your Lord. Li ahaba laki ghulaman zakiya, and Allah has sent me to bless you with a son. And immediately she replied, anna yakunu li ghulamun, that how can I have a son? Walam yamsasni bashar, that no insan has touched me. Walam aku baghiya, nor have I committed any sin or zina. And I'm not married either. And Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam did not remember that moment before in her life. That Rabb who could give her fruits out of season could also give her a son without marriage, without meeting a man. So the difference in those two halat, those two conditions, was basically about the environment. The environment has an effect on us. If there is an environment where a person is remembering Allah, that will have an effect, will build our iman, build our yaqeen. Right? So at some moments, a person should spend in solitude. Like the Prophet ﷺ, when he received his nabuwat, he would go and he would spend some time in solitude. And in solitude, the whole lesson, the idea is to disconnect from makhluk and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. And the last method that we'll mention through which we can strengthen our iman is by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, when doing zikr of Allah. Iman depends on our zikr. The more and more we remember Allah, the more we'll be able to polish, strengthen, nurture our iman. That's why Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an, he would say to his student, that sit with us in our company so that we are in the state of Iman for some time. And he sit with us and refresh our Iman. These words are telling us that sometimes Iman can get polluted. It becomes dirty. And it needs to be cleansed and refreshed and polished. Right? That's why he's saying that sit with us for some time and let's jaddidu imanakum. Let's do tajdeed of our Iman. Let's clean and refresh our Iman. So how can a person refresh this Iman? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, jaddidu imanakum, the refresh your Iman. So the Sahaba Ikram, they asked that, Ya Rasulullah, wa kayfa nujaddidu? How can we refresh our Iman? The Prophet ﷺ said, aktharu man qawlu la ilaha illallah. Through this kalima, refresh your Iman by this kalima, la ilaha illallah. The more and more a person recites this kalima, that's the way you can remove that pollution from your Iman, the dirt from your Iman. It can be polished. So this is showing that this freshness in Iman comes when a person remembers Allah. The more we remember Allah, the more our Iman will get refreshed, cleansed of that dirt, cleansed of those doubts, cleansed of those impurities, of those skepticism. So we need to work on our spiritual hearts and make these hearts, work on these hearts and make them the beacon of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is the way through which our Iman can become pukhta, it can become firm, we can reach that level of yaqeen. And one final thing, when we look at this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Mu'min, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is the infuser and giver of Iman. At the same time, when we have this name of Iman, we should also have this fikr about the baqa of this Iman. That indeed, Alhamdulillah, we are all believers. There is no such a thing that we are deprived of Iman, khuda na khasta. But we need to be concerned about the baqa. About we leave this world in a state of Iman. And our early Muslims who had such a strong Iman, such a great Iman, Iman like a mountain, they too were also worried and concerned about their Iman. So if they were worried, then we should also be worried about ourselves. In Sahih Bukhari Sharif, the narrator narrates that adraktu thalathina min ashabi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I met 30 Badri Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. I met 30 Sahaba who participated with the Prophet ﷺ in the Battle of Badr. And kulluhum yakhafu nifaqa ala nafsihi. Every one of those Sahaba, they were anxious that, na'uzubillah, they might become a munafiq. Yani that was their condition. These are Badri Sahaba, but so much fikr, concern about their end. Hazrat Allama Zahvi rahmatullah, he was a very great muhaddis of his time, writes about a particular another muhaddis, that no one saw him smile his whole life. And someone asked him that, Hazrat, you never smile. And he replied that, how can I smile when I don't know whether I will be able to protect my Iman till the end or not? So the day when I'm sure that I'll be able to take my Iman protected with me, people will see me smiling. And he writes that nobody saw him smile his whole life. But when he died, people were giving him ghusl and he was constantly smiling. As if he was giving this message that I was able to protect my Iman and take my Iman with me from this world. So we should be careful about that last moment. One of our own teachers, our own sheikh, he went to Samarkand and he mentioned a story about an old lady there. This lady used to recite Quran in the era of 70s when there was communism in Soviet Union. And when it was actually a crime to read Quran, you would be either killed or imprisoned, or they would just hang you. Reading Quran was a crime in that region, right? During the revolution. No child could have any Islamic name. It was a crime to make a child learn the kalima. The 70s were a period of a lot of atrocities and zulm. This lady, she would teach Quran to the children at that time in the 70s. And how did she teach Quran? That's another story for another time. But the thing that Sheikh mentioned was that he had a chance to meet her, and she was now very old on her bed. And when the Sheikh went and asked her that, "Oh, Amma, please make dua for me," she raised her hand and just made one sentence dua that, "Oh Allah, save our iman. Oh Allah, protect our iman. Oh Allah, protect our iman." Yani, a woman who was so solid in her own iman that in the 70s revolution of communism, she is teaching Quran to kids. When her time at the end, her one dua that she is making and making for others as well is that, "Oh Allah, safeguard our iman." So people who value this blessing of iman, this is how they make dua for the safety of their iman. Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah, when he was about to leave this world and his condition became really worse, so his students, his companions, they started reciting the kalima to him. And they would recite the kalima. He would say, "No, la, 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 no." And they were surprised that we are asking him to recite the kalima. He is not able to recite. Then after some time, his condition became a bit better. And people asked him that, "What was the issue, Hazrat? We were reciting the kalima, you weren't responding." And then Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah, he replied that, "I wasn't talking to you. I wasn't talking to you. Shaitan came to me. Shaitan came to me and said that, 'Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, how lucky you are, how lucky are you, how blessed are you, how mubarak are you, that you are taking your iman protected from this world.'" And I was telling him, "No, la, not now, not now, not now. I'm still not safe from your planning, from your plotting." So we should make dua that we are really weak before this shaitan, right? We are awake and conscious and alert. Still, we're not able to fight shaitan. Shaitan makes us commit sins, one sin after another. And this is when we're healthy and active. So how would, what will happen when we leave this dunya? So this is something we should have a fikr for. And we should be careful about protecting our iman. And the Prophet in Hadith, Sahih Muslim, said that Badru bil Amal, Badru bil Amal, that you should be speedy in doing good deeds. Because near is the time that these fitnas will start, and these fitnas will come like dark nights. And when these fitnas will come like dark nights, you will find a person who will be a mu'min in the morning and will be an unbeliever by the evening. And will be a Right, will be an unbeliever in the evening, or will be a mu'min in the evening, or an unbeliever in the morning. And your time will come when these fitnas will become so common, will be at its peak, that people's iman will be changing by morning and evening. So it's really important that we attach ourselves to gatherings of pious, to people of righteousness, to people of piety, so that in this day and age we can hold on to our iman and protect our iman in this connection that we have with the people of Allah. This is one of the ways through which we can safeguard our iman. The Prophet said that man ahabba lillah wa abghaza lillah wa ata lillah wa mana'a lillah faqad istakmala al-imana. That person who loves someone for the sake of Allah and who has bughz, enmity for the sake of Allah, and gives for the sake of Allah, or takes for the sake of Allah, that person has perfected their iman. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah Ta'ala also grant us these four attributes, and may Allah Ta'ala perfect our iman, beautify our iman, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to leave this world. Ya Allah, you have given this ni'mat of iman as a hadiya, as a gift, truly one of the precious, most beloved ni'mat that we have. And Allah, we are not able to do hifazat of this iman. Allah, we give this iman to you in your hifazat. Like a small child, he gives his most precious thing to his father, that I cannot protect this. Oh my father, you protect this on my behalf. We should also make the same dua to Allah, that Allah, we are presenting our iman to you. Allah, we ask you that you protect this. And when the time comes for us to leave this world, Allah, enable us to leave this world in a state of iman. Grant us a death on iman. Grant us a death which is pleasing to you, and enable us to live in such a state that you are smiling at us and we are smiling back at you. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. سبحان ربي العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.